Good morning, everybody. Princess Di is on here. Allison, Keita, Carol. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Mary Grace is on here. I'm sure Pepper is going to be joining in a minute. Hey from Milwaukee. Hey from Phoenix. What is going on? Maryland is on here. All right, so wanted to do a short update on the Department of Justice Inspector General report on FISA abuse and talk a little bit about what we know from Q, we can expect from the IG report when it comes out. Also want to talk a little bit about D-Class, and I'm going to talk a little bit about 8chan, 8kun, whatever you want to call it now, because it's changed. So, hey from California and Mississippi and New Jersey. Hey, Billy Joe, what's up? All right, so Maria Bartiromo, unfortunately, went on the air last weekend and said, hey, I've heard that we're going to get the IG report on FISA abuse on the 18th. And I was like, I can't believe you said that. I can't believe she said that. Look, I remember last year when we got the IG report on the FBI's handling of the Hillary Clinton email investigation. And we had first started hearing rumors that it was going to come out in April and May of last year. And people were saying, oh, it's going to come out next week. And it didn't come out. And we're going to hear, see it, it's going to come out. A couple of weeks, didn't come out. It was a good 2 months after they had said it was going to come out that we finally saw last year's IG report. So based on that, I have been keeping my powder dry on expectations about seeing this report. Because every time someone says it's going to come out on such and such a date, it doesn't happen. And that's just how the Department of Justice works. It is a slow, laborious bureaucracy where things seem to take forever. And we got a little taste of this again this year when the Comey report came out. Joe DeGeneva went on the air and said, oh, in a couple of weeks, there's going to be a report on James Comey. And everyone is waiting for that report to come out. A couple of weeks, didn't happen. I think it was 6 weeks after DeGeneva said that report was going to be out, that it finally dropped. And Joe DeGeneva got a lot of crap for telling people this report was going to come out, and then it didn't come out for 6 weeks later. So we have been hearing that the IG report on FISA abuse was, I think the first time people started reporting they were expecting it to come out was actually in April of this year. And in May, we were hearing it's going to come out, and June, it was supposed to come out, and then they said, oh, wait a minute, they had to go and interview Christopher Steele, and they had to fly to the UK, and they interviewed him for 2 days, and they flew back, and then they had to re-interview other people because their testimony changed based on what Christopher Steele had said. And then that delayed the whole thing for like another month or two. So it's just been delay, 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 delay. And when Maria Bartiromo got on to her show last week and said, oh, yeah, it's coming out on the 18th, I was like, no, it's not. I told Denise yesterday morning, I said, you know, I really hope people aren't getting their expectations up and their hopes up on this report coming out on the 18th, because I don't think it's going to. As soon as someone picks a date, you can just write that on the calendar as a date it's not going to happen. So, you know, yesterday afternoon, she's like, okay, yeah, well, I got word that the IG report's not going to be out on the 18th. It's going to look for it at the end of the month. And I was like, yeah, we'll be lucky to see it sometime in November, probably. All right, so I just want to give people just kind of a general encouragement. Don't be just kind of a warning. Manage your expectations. Don't expect that when someone says the report's going to come out from the Department of Justice on such and such a date, take it with a grain of salt, because the Department of Justice and the FBI move very slowly. And they only have one chance to do this, and they have to do it right. And the other thing that that I found interesting is, we know if you're a Q follower, you know that Q has given us an order of operation of how these things are going to progress. The reason why we haven't seen any of the big names prosecuted, arrested, indicted so far, although there are 124,000 sealed cases on the pacer.gov website. You can just imagine who might be indicted. There's 124,000 cases of sealed cases on the in the federal court dockets. So the reason we haven't seen any arrests yet is they're still cleaning out the courts. Trump is still appointing new judges. They're still cleaning people out of the FBI Department of Justice to get the justice system where it can prosecute people and have a reasonable expectation that high-ranking corrupt people are going to be prosecuted successfully and convicted. I always tell people who are like, oh, there's no arrest, no one's been arrested, no one's been held accountable, wah, wah, wah. I'm like, you know what? If all Trump wanted was just to arrest a bunch of corrupt people, he could have done that the day after he got in the White House. He could have rounded up Hillary and Comey and Clapper and Brennan. He could have arrested them all the week that he got after he got inaugurated. Every one of them would have escaped justice. Every one of them, the prosecutors would have bungled the prosecution, or the FBI would have bungled the investigation, and they would have walked. Because that's the system that Trump inherited. He inherited a corrupt justice system, two-tiered system of justice that let corrupt people walk. They're not going to prosecute anyone until they are absolutely certain that those people are going to be convicted. And that means Barr is in the process of continuing the cleanout of the DOJ. And we know that Barr and U.S. Attorney John Durham are personally overseeing the investigation of these corrupt people. Why? Because Barr probably doesn't trust anyone to do it but himself. This is such an important task for Barr and Trump that Barr is personally overseeing this investigation of Brennan, Clapper, Comey, Loretta Lynch, Sally Yates, Susan Rice, Obama, high-level people. From what we're hearing, Barr is personally overseeing the investigation of these people, because he doesn't trust anyone to do it but himself, him and Durham. So they're taking their time, and they're going to do this right, because they only get one chance to do this, and if they screw it up, those people walk. They cannot afford to pull the trigger early. They have to get the T's crossed and the I's dotted. Otherwise, these people are not going to see justice. So one of the things that I noticed in Q's post is, we've been given an order of operations. So first, the Department of Justice has to be cleaned out because they prosecute. The FBI has to be cleaned up because FBI does investigations. The courts have to be... I suspect that one of the reasons why Trump is appointing so many judges is they want to try these cases in courts where they have judges that are not corrupt, who are not going to find some kind of legal way to let these people walk. Once the justice system has been cleaned out, then they can start the prosecution. Now, the order of operations that Q gave us is, first we needed to get through the Mueller witch hunt. Mueller witch hunt is done. The next thing that was supposed to happen, according to Q, is declassification of all these documents related to Spygate. So we have a kind of a partial laundry list of things that are going to be declassified. The Gang of Eight intelligence briefing that was given to the House Intelligence Committee, Adam Schiff, Devin Nunes, those guys, their intelligence briefing that they got, the binder with all the intelligence information from the intelligence communities about the Russia investigation, that's going to be declassified. Q has said that is very significant because there's information in there that is classified, has been classified. It was given to Adam Schiff, and Schiff never thought it was going to be made public. And Schiff lied about the Russia investigation, and he kept saying, we have more than circumstantial evidence about Trump colluding with Russia. We have evidence, and we've been getting briefings. Well, Schiff never got the evidence, never had the evidence, lied to everyone, never expecting those intelligence briefings to be made public, and that's what's going to happen. Their briefing is going to be made public. That's one of the things. So we have the Bruce Ohr 302s, his interviews with the FBI. Bruce Ohr, key player, former Department of Justice, was an associate deputy attorney general. He was heavily involved in Spygate. He was a go-between between Christopher Steele, DOJ, FBI. His 302 reports are going to be made public. We're going to get declassified all text messages between Comey, McCabe, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, and Bruce Ohr. Anything that had to do with the Russia investigation, all their text messages, declassified, unredacted. So we're going to get all this information. We're going to get a lot more than that. Now, when Trump initially ordered this declassification almost a year ago, there was a laundry list of like five things. Hannity calls it the five buckets, right? And then when Trump gave declassification authority to Barr, Attorney General Barr, he told Barr, you can declassify anything you want and you can give it to whoever you want. So I suspect Barr has already declassified documents and given them to people like Devin Nunes, probably given some to Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows. He can declassify anything he wants and he can give it to whoever he wants. So we don't know what is going to be declassified. Now, here's the interesting thing. The FISA IG report is going to be an internal affairs investigation into how the FBI, Department of Justice, conducted the Russia investigation. All right. So Horowitz, as a DOJ inspector general, is going to look at the DOJ and FBI and how they followed policy, procedure, and law doing the Russia investigation, particularly as it pertains to allegations of abuse of the FISA system. Now, Maria Bartiromo and several other people have hinted, they've said that it's going to go far beyond FISA, and I believe it will. Q has gave us a placeholder last November, and this placeholder lists a bunch of topics that we can expect to see in this FISA report. Okay, so Inspector General report and findings. So we get a general report and general findings from Horowitz about how the investigation was conducted, whether they followed policy, procedure, and laws. Now, there's also, Q said, FBI, Department of Justice, media collusion. So the media colluded with members of the FBI and DOJ. We have already seen one arrest of a defense intelligence analyst who was leaking classified documents on national security to the media. That dude got arrested last week. All right, intelligence people colluding with the media. We got one arrest already. We're going to be seeing more of this because we know during this Russia investigation, people in the FBI, DOJ, McCabe, Comey, Strzok, Page, and a lot of other people, probably James Baker, probably Cortan and other people, were leaking illegally. They were leaking information to the media. Susan Rice, Samantha Power, ordered the unmasking of people in the intelligence reports. It goes out into Obama's presidential daily brief. Obama's presidential daily brief was being read by a lot of people in the Obama administration. They could take that information, leak it to the press, and they just had this cycle going on. All of that is going to be exposed in the IG report. Next up on the IG report from Q, executive branch, ABC's intelligence agencies, CIA, etc., media collusion. So, other agencies besides FBI and DOJ, CIA, possibly, and any State Department probably, heavily, I would suspect, is going to be involved with media collusion, and other executive branch agencies. So we're going to get a report on media collusion with other agencies. Foreign assist. So we're going to get a report on how much countries like Italy, the UK, and Australia, and other nations, possibly Ukraine, assisted the Obama administration in attempting to rig the election and then overthrow a duly elected president. Foreign inserts. We have OREC and info dissemination. Off the record, I think there's OREC. So we're going to get information about foreign people who were inserted into this operation. We're going to get information on foreign spies. We're going to get information on how the FBI and DOJ weaponized their intelligence apparatus, used human confidential sources, how the CIA was involved in all of this. There's going to be a lot of information coming out about how they ran this operation against Trump. FISA abuse, direct and indirect sources, umbrella spying and targeting. So we're going to get information on how they used the Five Eyes. UK can spy on US citizens legally without getting any warrants. And you target people through FISA. So you do domestic spying and then you use other countries to spy, umbrella spying and targeting those people. We're going to get information on that. And then Q has this OTRC, I think is off the record comms. So communications, private communications of people involved in Spygate through private email, Gmail comms, Xbox, PlayStation. They were communicating through all kinds of communication systems in order to avoid NSA detection. So that those are the things that Q dropped on this placeholder that have to do with the IG report. Now, what Q has suggested is we're going to get D-class before we get the IG report. So when we haven't had all these documents declassified and there's all this talk about the IG report coming out, I was thinking, you know, according to Q, we're going to get D-class first and then the IG report. Now, I don't know if Q's right. I don't know if this is actually going to happen this way. We might get the IG report first. Maybe we'll get D-class later. Maybe Barr has been held up on getting things declassified. I don't know. I don't know when we're going to get D-class, and I don't know when we're going to get the IG report. What I can say is Q has told us D-class should come before the IG report. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. So that's kind of what to expect from D-class, what to expect from the IG report. Other thing I wanted to touch on is 8chan. So 8chan is just about ready to come back. Jim Watkins has been doing live streams a couple times a week. Did a live stream yesterday and said 8chan, 8kun.net is pretty much ready. CodeMonkey put out a call to board owners to get their boards set up. And Jim Watkins said the Q board, Q Research is ready to go. It's online. They've got it set up. He has said they've done the testing that they need. A bunch of people who tried to log in and you can't log in yet. And I don't know that you're going to need to log in. So if you go to 8kun.net, what you'll find is there is a box where they ask you to enter a user ID and enter a password. And if you do that and refresh the screen, it's going to give you the same screen. You have to enter a user ID and a password. It'll refresh again, and you have to enter a user ID and a password. So people have been messaging me on Twitter, hey, what's going on? I'm like, it's not ready for public use yet. Don't try to log in. And I don't know if you're going to have to log in when you use it. It looks like it's just a placeholder. They're preparing things. CodeMonkey said this morning they're transferring files, last minute stuff, getting things ready. They're going to try to have the launch ready on the 17th. But again, Jim Watkins, when he came out of the hearing, congressional hearing on September 5th, said, oh yeah, we'll be back online in a few days. I was thinking, okay, awesome. We're going to be, back online end of the week, next week maybe. That was September 5th. here we are, October 15th, and we're still not back online. And Watkins keeps saying, oh, it's just a few more days, just a few more days, just a few more days. So again, don't get your hopes up. It would be great if 8kun.net is ready to go by the 17th. I am not going to bet the farm on it because we've been told before, oh, it's going to be a few more days. I'm hoping it is. He said, hoping for the 17th, could be earlier, could be later, don't know. So he's given us a soft date. But it looks like CodeMonkey set up a subdomain on 8kun.net that is accessible right now. If you want to go there, you can just go there, soon.8kun.net, soon.8kun.net. That is a subdomain that's been set up. It's got some logos on it. And you don't need a password to log in. You can just go there. And someone uploaded a bunch of logos for the new 8kun. You can go there. You can download the logos. And that's really, it's just one page with a bunch of logos on it. And that's it. I don't know if we're going to need to have user IDs and passwords to log in to 8kun.net. I don't know a whole lot about what that's going to look like. Those of you who are following Q and you're using the Q websites like Q Alerts, or if you're using Q Map, they will, I'm reasonably certain, they'll all scrape and aggregate posts from 8kun.net and they'll put them on the mobile apps and they'll put them on the website. So I wouldn't be too stressed about that. It should, the transition, I'm guessing, will be fairly smooth. And maybe we'll be back online by the end of the week. Wouldn't that be cool? Right, nobody knows who Q is, and Q is not on Twitter. I had somebody message me on Twitter, I think it was yesterday, said, hey, do you follow Majestic 12 on Twitter? I was like, no. I know who Majestic 12 is. I don't know who the person is. I'm aware of the account. I don't follow them. And this person said, oh, Majestic 12 is Q. And I was like, no. I took a screenshot of one of the old Q posts from January of 2018. No private comms, no outside comms, no comms outside of this board. Anyone who says anything different, it's fake news. Q is not on Twitter. Q only posts on 8chan, period. Doesn't talk to anybody outside of 8chan. So if you're following any of these accounts and they say that they've talked to Q, they've talked to the Q team, they know who Q is, they don't. Nobody knows who Q is other than the Q team and Trump and his little circle of people. And Q is not communicating outside of 8chan. All right. Q plus, POTUS, correct. And who knows, maybe the question will be asked when Q comes back. We expect that there's going to be a lot of attacks. The mainstream media is going to gear up their hatred of Q and expect a lot more media attention on Q. Tucker Carlson, there was somebody posted a video last night on Twitter. They asked Tucker if he knows about Q. And Tucker said, you know, he goes, I haven't read anything about Q, but I really want to. So it'll be interesting to see how people like Tucker and Hannity and Sarah Carter and the mainstream media respond once Q gets back online. I anticipate when Q comes back, it's going to be a busy week or two. I think Q will have a lot to say when he gets back online, having been gone for 2.5 months. So, yeah, I think Sarah knows about Q. I think John Solomon knows about Q. I'm pretty sure Hannity does. I think they're hip, but they've been told not to talk about it publicly. That's just my belief. 8kun, 8kun is going to be the new 8chan. When they come back online, it looks like it's going to be on 8kun.net, 8kun.net. That's going to be the domain they'll use when they come back online. Jim Watkins is the owner of 8chan. He had that domain reserved for a long time, and he figured he would just use that when they came back online on the new system. I miss Q too. I don't normally miss Q because I have so much going on that when Q takes a break, I'm like, yes, a break. I get to do a little bit of writing, work on another book. But it's been 2.5 months. I am ready for Q to return. I am definitely ready. KUN, 8KUN, 8KUN. Yeah, you'll get, if you have Q alerts or Q drops or Q map, those apps, it'll take them probably a day or so to get the system set up to where they're able to pull posts to the apps, but it won't be long before everything will be back. And you want to go to the website, you can always go there directly and check it out. And hey, you know what? I'm just going to throw this out here. Anyone can be a board owner on 8chan. If you have a little bit of technical knowledge, you can set up your own board on 8chan. If you want to have a board where you talk about knitting or whatever you're interested in, baking or your religious beliefs, whatever, you can set up your own board on 8chan and get some board volunteers to help you. And you can have your own board. It's open to anybody who wants to set up a board. I don't know enough about it to do it myself, but just want to throw that out there. All right, I'm gonna get going. Dilly will be on here at 9 o'clock Pacific time. Love you all. Take care. Catch you on the next broadcast.